So maybe we should try the HMI converter. Maybe that works better. Or maybe I have to never use this thing. Yeah, how do you do? So sorry about that. Next time I know. All right. So welcome to my talk, and thanks for the introduction, Volker. I'm going to talk about the integration of Active Directory into Chrome OS. How did we do it? Machine learning? No. Oh, okay. That works. Not machine learning, but we are using Samba, or as Jeremy put it, the start of a beautiful friendship. This doesn't work. Awesome. Oh, come on. Oh, there we go. Oh. All right. Yeah, this worked all the time when I tried it. Now it doesn't work. Perfect. So, what am I talking about? So the first, I don't know if everybody has heard about Chrome OS and Chromebooks, so I'm giving a quick introduction. Then I'm talking about the Active Directory integration. First, more on a high level, so how you do it, how you manage your device, how to get Android apps, certificates, and file shares. And then I'm going more deep into how it works under the hood. So it's a system daemon with a dbus interface, how Samba is used, how Kerberos is integrated, and how we sandbox it. And then I'm concluding with summary and future plans. So what's Chrome OS? So Chrome OS is really a Linux-based OS which has been built around Chrome at its core. And design-wise, it's based on three principles: security, simplicity, and speed. So it has been built with security really deeply integrated into the system. So everything that runs on it is sandboxed, except the early stuff, maybe. So a little bit about history. So the first Chromebooks shipped in 2011, and this has evolved a lot. So nowadays you have more than 50 models, and you have all kinds of different form factors. So we have normal laptops, we have convertibles, which you can convert into a tablet. We actually have tablets now. We have stylus support, and we have detachables. And it's pretty popular in US K-12 schools with a market share of about 60%. How did it evolve over time? So the first Chromebooks were really just laptops running Chrome. So you open it up, you only had Chrome, and you could only do stuff mostly while online. Apps like Gmail have been improved over time to also support offline, but in the beginning it was hard. Today's Chromebooks can do a lot more. Nowadays, we have Android app support with something called Arc++, ARC means apps runtime for Chrome. So first it was an extension for Chrome that could run Android apps. Nowadays, ARC++ is integrated into Chrome OS. So it's a first-class citizen in that sense. Same for Linux apps. There was first, I think it was an extension, or actually in dev mode you could run Linux apps, but nowadays it's you can actually run Linux apps not going to dev mode. And you can also run Windows apps with crossover. So it allows you to do a lot more. So this is what it looks like. This is a Google Pixelbook that came just out a few months ago. It has a special keyboard, and Chrome OS is a desktop, and this is the desktop. So nothing special. You will see here that's the Play Store icon, so it has Android app support. Two things I want to stress about Chrome OS. So when you want to use a Chromebook, you have to have a Google account, at least traditionally. So keep that in mind. The second thing, when you buy a Chromebook, and if you buy it for yourself, you probably want an unmanaged Chromebook, but for enterprises or schools, you might want to manage the Chromebook by setting policy. So, for instance, you want to disallow students to access YouTube. So in that case, you want it managed. And in order to manage a Chromebook, there is an online cloud-based console that you can use from Google to set those policies. So keep that in mind, Google account and cloud-based. So how does this work? So this is the admin console, and in the middle here, you probably can't read it, it says device management. And if you go down deeper, you will eventually get to user policies. And as an example, I'm setting the homepage policy here, and I'm setting it to the Samba XP webpage. And if I then open my Chromebook, which is managed by this domain, I will see if I go to the homepage, I will see the Samba XP homepage. So this is the principle how management works for traditional Chrome OS. So now imagine I'm an Active Directory admin, and I would just like to try out Chromebooks for my company. So what does that mean? How do I do it? So first of all, remember that it requires a Google account. But that's actually a problem because it's not tied to my enterprise identity in any way. So I would require that my employees create Google accounts and they wouldn't be linked somehow, and that's a problem. But luckily there's a sync tool, so you can actually sync your Active Directory identities to Google accounts and use SAML to sign in. So this kind of like works. But admins might not actually want this. If I just want to try Chromebooks, why do I have to create Google accounts and sync all my employee data to Google? That's a bad thing. So that's another problem. Even if you have worked this out, you will find that now you have separate management. On the one hand, you have Chromebooks, which are managed by Google Cloud. On the other hand, you have your Windows laptops, for instance, which are managed by Active Directory GPO. So now we have to keep two things in sync and manage things in two different places and learn a new management. Last is that the companies might not want any or all of the Google services that we offer. So if you just want to try out Chromebooks, and you might not want to allow employees to use all those services. So this is a pretty large upfront investment just to try out Chromebooks. So we thought, how can we improve this? So our goal for this project of Active Directory integration was to make it really easy to try out Chromebooks. You shouldn't have to go through all these things. So you shouldn't have to create Google accounts, and you should be able to manage your Chromebooks with Active Directory, GPO. And we've been working on this for a while and launched last year in August as part of Chrome Enterprise Push. And this system runs Samba under the hood in a sandbox system daemon. And I'm going to first explain how this integration works. So if you want to try it out, what do you have to do? And in the second part, I'm going more deeply into the Samba integration part. So how do you get this up? So first, what you have to do, you have to register a domain with Google, but that's a really easy thing. It's a one-pager. Google creates a domain for you. And the purpose of this domain is really just license tracking and configuration. I think you get 10 free licenses for 2 months to try it out. And yeah, customer service, I think, is pretty happy to extend it if you need it. So the second thing, so now you have your Google domain. Now you open up your Chromebook. It's a new Chromebook, so you get to the Ubi experience, so out of box. And at a certain point, you hit a keyboard combination, then you get to the enrollment screen, and then you enter the Google domain credentials that you just created. And then the Chromebook figures out that this domain is Active Directory managed, so on the next screen, you get to domain join, where you enter a computer name that you can make up or pick an existing one, and enter Active Directory credentials. There's also possibilities to change encryption methods at that point. It's not in this screenshot. So this is what joins your computer to the Active Directory domain. And once you did that and you look into Active Directory, so this is the Active Directory users and computers that shows all your users and computers, and you will see that the Chromebook that I just joined actually shows up here. So it's there now. Now, from this point on, you can log into your Chromebook using your Active Directory credentials. I got to talk to this user because his password is pretty short. So that's great. You get in. No Google account necessary. So that's great. Further features. So as I said, no identity from Google required, just Active Directory. Nice thing is that we can actually handle password change. So if your password expired in Active Directory, you will get a screen where you can change your password. So it's all nicely integrated. Management is done through GPO, so you don't have the problem that you have to relearn how management works. You can just use what you're used to as admin. We have Kerberos single sign-on integrated. So if you have a page that requires Kerberos authentication, you can just open it. You don't have to do anything. And you get Android apps, certificates, file shares, and printing. So a little more about management. How does that work? Since it's group policies, you somehow need to tell Active Directory what policies are there. And for this, you download and install ADMX templates that you can download from our servers. So these are templates that just contain a list of all the policies that we offer and possible values. If you install them and go to the GPO editor in Active Directory, you can dig down here under administrative templates. You will see Google Chrome OS. So this then contains all the policies that you can set. And there are two flavors. The first one, I didn't expand this, but if you can expand it the same way, you will see all the device policies that we have for Chrome OS. So these are policies that apply to the login screen in particular, where you can set like what users can log in. And the other is the user policies down here, which are policies that apply within the user session, for instance, to set a home page. Talking of setting a homepage, let's do the same thing that I did before. So you would open this up, dig down to this says homepage here, and then you set a homepage URL in the GPO editor. And when you then connect or log into a Chromebook, which is joined to this domain, you will see the same thing. So I could just reuse the screenshot. That was easy. And there's also a policy page, which looks like this. I've highlighted a few parts. So Chrome policy shows where all the policies are. And you see here that this says the user you're logged in as. And this is the machine name here. And all the policies where the source says local server, those are the policies that are coming from Active Directory. So you can see whether you can actually got the right policies. There are also more complex policies. And right now, you have to actually write JSON code to set them. This is not ideal, and we are working on improvements for that, but it's still possible. And you get examples here, so it's not impossible. So how do you get Android apps? So the important thing about Android apps, the way we implemented it, is that they follow you around. So when I log into one Chromebook and I download 5 apps, and then I log into another Chromebook with the same user account, I get the same 5 apps there. I don't have to re-download them. But in order to implement this, we had to somehow link your Active Directory account to a Play Store account. And for this, we had to prove to the Google server that you are really the user you are pretending to be. So in order to make this, implement this in a secure way, we use SAML. And the way this works is that the Google server talks to the AD server through the client to give a user ID for that user, and the client, the identity provider here, ADFS, then replies with an object GUID that we use as a key for the Google account. And then the Google servers create a shadow account, so shadow because you never really see it or explicitly create it, and it has a scope which is limited to only Android apps. So this is kind of like an account just for Android apps, and it's linked to your Active Directory server. So how does that look on the client? So if I open up my client for the first time, I see this SAML sign-on page here. This is actually a web view, which is given by the ADFS server. And you have a field here for username and password, so you use your Active Directory credentials here to log in. Unless you have Kerberos SSO set up for ADFS, in which case it will just go automatically, so you don't have to enter your credentials again. And then, once you did that, you get the Play Store, and you can use all your productivity-improving apps like Clash Royale. The admin can has certain ways how to control what you can do. So they can pick the apps you are allowed to install from the Play Store admin console. They can force install apps or preload apps with a policy called arc policy, and they can pin apps to the launcher with a policy called pinned launcher apps. So when you pin an app, it will show up in the bottom bar, and you can just click it and access it very quickly. Certificates, there are two flavors. The first is servant authority certificates. You set them by an open network configuration. That's a fairly complex JSON policy, but it's not impossible. You have to export your certificate as X509, base 64 encoded file. So this is that says begin certificate and end certificate and everything in between you have to paste here. And once you did that, you can then access pages that require the certificate. There's also a device version of that. The next certificate flavor is client certificates. So those are certificates that are used to prove to a server that you are a certain client. So you can use that to prevent that somebody else brings their own machine and locks onto your corp resources. So to get that, there is a Chrome extension called Chrome OS Certificate Enrollment. You can install that, and in order to configure it, you need, again, ADMX template. We currently don't have those publicly available, but if you want to try it out, you can ask, and we can provide it, but we are working on this. So what does it do? This requests certificates through Active Directory certificate services, and this is a service from in Active Directory to provide certificates, and the keys that it's using are all hardware-backed, so there's a TPM module in Chromebooks that I use to create keys. So last thing is file shares. There is also a Chrome extension for that, but it's being deprecated. I'm going to tell you why in a second. But this is for SMB file shares only. Even though it says network file share, which sounds like NFS, only for SMB file shares. And this also uses Samba under the hood. So this was actually, I think, the first project that used Samba for Chrome OS. So quick, how does that work? This is can be configured in GPO, but you don't have to. You can just open up the app, and then you enter. It's very small, but this is the share path and a share name, and then your credentials to log in. And once you did that, the share gets mounted in the file share app. It will show up, and you can access your remote files.
So this one is the SMB2 overlay, yeah?
SMB1?
SMB2 overlay. I think we
restricted. Yes, exactly. So, yes. It used to be SMB. So the question was, is this is SMB2 only? And I think it used to be SMB1, but then things happened, and then it was SMB2. Right. And there are many bugs about that. So why is it being deprecated? This is a Chrome OS extension, so it kind of like runs in JavaScript and goes through many, many, many levels. I think the guy who implemented it said it's like 7 levels of layers it's running through doing stuff, and this is very inefficient and slow. So if you want to like do stuff with large files, you run into problems. And it requires right now re-authentication every time because they didn't find a secure way to store passwords, I guess. So we are working on fixing this by implementing native integration of this service as a Chrome OS system daemon. So this will then again elevate it to a first-class citizen, which will make it a lot faster because it's way less levels. And we can also improve, since we're using libSMB client directly, we can improve certain aspects of it. So one example was, I think, listing a directory where it would request, like behind the scenes, it would request the full directory every time, then kick everything out except one entry, and then iterate over all the entries. So it's like quadratic. So this is going to be improved. We are going to implement direct Kerberos SSO integration, so you will be signed into your share automatically. You don't have to do anything. And this is expected to hit the beta channel in Q3, so probably by September. So second part, what's happening under the hood? So this Active Directory integration is implemented as a Chrome OS system daemon. So remember that this is just a Linux system, basically. So you run system daemons, and it has a DBus interface. DBus is inter-process communication IPC interface that we use to communicate between the different parts, in particular between the daemon and Chrome. So every time Chrome, for instance, wants to sign you in, it does a DBus call into the daemon. And it calls Samba binaries directly, net SMB client, and also the Kerberos kinit, klist, and kpassword. It manages the Kerberos ticket, and it's sandboxed with a tool called mini-jail. I'm going to explain each of those in the following. So first, the DBus interface. So what methods do we need? There is not really much. I think it's 7 in total. So join AD domain is obvious to join your machine to the Active Directory domain. This actually generates a password and keeps track of its own password because we couldn't figure out how the change trust password in Samba really works. And I think the password got discarded by technical reasons. There's authenticate user call. So this is called every time you log in. It gets a Kerberos ticket. There's a get user status, which returns some information about your Kerberos ticket. Is the ticket still valid? How long? No. Just if the ticket is valid, I guess. Your password status. Did your password expire? Did it change on the server? Changing on the server is important because Chrome OS actually encrypts your user data with the same password. So when the password changes on the server, you have to change it on the Chromebook as well. But for the normal password change flow, this is all automatic. And some user info, like user first name, last name, and so on. Then there's get user Kerberos files, which copies the Kerberos ticket and the Kerberos configuration to Chrome, so it can use it for SSO. The second thing is 2 calls for refreshing policy. So this downloads a list of policies from Active Directory, and parses them and stores it securely in yet another system daemon. And the last call is a logging call. So Chrome OS has, or Chrome in Chrome OS has a shell called crosh. And from that shell, you can issue commands. One of them is auth policy debug, which you can like increase the debug level so you can debug your logs better. So for instance, this sets the log level for the Samba calls to maximum. This is useful to track down stuff. So how do we use Samba? So we are literally calling the Samba binaries. There's only, again, a handful. Netads join to join the machine. Netads info to get KDCIP and server time. Netads lookup to look up the domain controller name. Netads workgroup to look up the workgroup. We found over time, it wasn't immediately clear to us what we need, so we found over time, we figured out what works, and these are the four we settled with. And to fetch policy, there's one more, netads search to look up user information and when the password expires and so on, and the SAM account name. Netads GPO list gives us a list of policies that apply to a certain account. And we use that for SMB client to actually download the policies from the SMB file share. Last is the ticket management. So we use Kinit to get Kerberos ticket, Klist to find out whether the ticket is still valid and to get the lifetime of the ticket, and Kpassword to rotate machine passwords. So we had one client who noticed that they delete machine accounts where the password hasn't changed for 90 days. And I think by default, Samba passwords never expire, so machine passwords. So this is a problem, and they never get rotated. So this is a problem, so we had to implement our own password rotation. And this is what we came up with. Change trust password?
We have a command inside net utility to change machine account.
Is that change trust password?
Probably, yeah. I'm not sure, but I know that it's there. We don't call it regularly, but it's trivial to set up that one to kind of go through.
Yeah, maybe. So we tried that. We ran into an issue since I think Samba stores its password in a secrets database, right? And we actually discard the secrets database because we store this in a temporary folder. So we didn't realize that when we implemented it, but it turned out to happen this way. And we didn't, since we don't really know what else is in the secrets TDB, we didn't want to put this in a location where it's stored for a longer time. So we rolled our own password rotation.
It would be good if you could file bugs about this into Samba Bugzilla, because we have ongoing work on actually allowing us to generate key tabs and get this stuff outside of secrets TDB for other use cases as well.
Okay, that's a good point.
Is it okay to take questions in between?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I have a question about your previous slide, actually. You mentioned that you use NetADS GPO list to get the list of GPOs to apply, and then use SMB client to download the group policy template. Why aren't you using the refresh command?
So I think Samba uses GPO its own refresh database for GPO. We looked into that.
So
I think we wanted to have more control over what it's doing, like how caching works and these kinds of things. So it's also, I think Samba at that point at least had issues with the order in which things were applied in the GPO. So I think that's fixed now, but I think this all led to the decision to implement it.
Okay. So the net ADS GPO refresh, it downloads the it like caches the policy for you.
Uh-huh. But does it download it to a folder or into an internal library?
It actually downloads it to into a cache directory. I was just wondering why you chose to use SMB client instead.
I'll look into that. Maybe that's something.
Okay. I'd like to talk to you about that later, actually. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to know what's the best way because it's very complex. So I'm pretty sure we haven't hit like the best way to do things in all cases. Is there one more? Okay.
I just want to comment on that. That's probably my fault because I'm much more familiar with SMB client code than I am with the Net ADS code, so the Net GPO code. So I probably steered him wrong there. So you can blame me for that.
So yeah, I should mention that Jeremy has been supporting us throughout the project, and without him, it would have been for us impossible to get anything up. So thanks for that.
All the books blame me.
So native Kerberos integration, as I said, when you log in, it gets a Kerberos ticket for you. It also handles ticket renewal. So usually you have 10 hours of lifetime for a Kerberos ticket. And what the daemon will do is after 8 hours, it tries to renew it for the first time and then in increasingly smaller intervals if it fails. It also provides the ticket to Chrome through this get user Kerberos files debus call. And Chrome will use the ticket and stick it into GSS API, which handles all the negotiate protocol thingy that lets you log onto pages that require integrated Windows authentication. So you can just access your Corp data and Corp sites that require Kerberos authentication automatically. And there are also a few policies that control this. One of them, for instance, is HTTP auth servers. So you can limit the whitelist servers that GSS API is allowed to talk to. The last part, I want to go into more deeply into sandboxing. So as every large project, really, Samba has security flaws. That's not to blame Samba. That's just true for every large project, or even small ones, probably. So the best thing you can hope to do is to fix them all. If that fails, then you want to minimize the impact of security issues, because you will fail. So you want to reduce the attack surface, really. And because you want to do this, because if your process is going to be hijacked, and it will be hijacked, then the hackers have less options. So we are doing this by using a tool called Minijail. I think it has also been developed at Google, which allows you to just limit what the process can do. So what can it do? The first thing you probably might want to do is not run as root, because root can do anything. So you want to run as non-root user and group. Minijail has a command line tool called Minijail Zero, which you can pass it something to run, some binary, and you can pass it some arguments. So by default, it would run as root, but if you pass in these arguments, then it will run as this specific user and this specific group. And it will remove all the things you can usually do, like all the capabilities. And this makes it a lot more secure. And you also can't access files that are root-owned, for instance. The next is capabilities. So Linux has over 30 capabilities that let you do stuff that usually only root is allowed to do. One example is change the ownership of a file or to set user ID and group ID. So there's 30, more than 30 of those, and usually only root has them. And if I call Minijail with a different user and group, it would usually throw away all capabilities. But you might want to keep just a subset of capabilities, just the stuff that you need. And Minijail allows you to do that by passing in this weird-looking C0 here. In this case, this is the hex code of the bits that you want to keep. And then you would still be able to set user ID and group. In that case, of course, the example is kind of stupid because then you could switch back to root, but it's just an example. The third is filtering system calls. So Linux has over 300 system calls that can do all kinds of things. So there are fairly harmless ones like reading and writing files, and there are more potentially dangerous ones like creating a network connection or sending data. Minijail allows you to specify a whitelist for system calls. In this case, I've whitelisted only read and write. And if this process then tries to call any other system call, then the process will crash. So if I'm a hacker and I implement like a Bitcoin mining tool and I want to send all my money back to the server, I wouldn't be able to do it because connect is not allowed. This is a very simple policy here that only whitelists like the whole command. There are only also ways to customize this. I have made two examples here. So this ioctl command, it's very complex. As second argument, arg1, so we start counting at zero. Arg1, it takes a command, and there's a wide range of commands. So if you whitelisted ioctl, it would still open a pretty big window for things to do. So you can actually limit what this argument should be. In this case, I'm only allowing two arguments here. And all the rest will be blacklisted. And then the second thing is this funny bit operation here. And this is for operations that allocate memory. And what this does, it blocks memory from being both writable and executable. Because if you are a hacker, what you would really like to do is you would allocate a piece of memory and then make it writable and executable, then write some bits to it and execute this to do malicious stuff. So this will block this. But how do you generate such a whitelist file? Because I don't know all the system calls that Samba does. So how do you do it? There's an strace command that creates a log of all the system calls that are being called. And then we offer a script that converts this strace log to a whitelist file. So it's fairly easy to get this. But there are actually two caveats for SecCom filtering that you have to be aware of. The first is that the syscalls are platform dependent. So on ARM, you have different syscalls than on AMD64, which means that also the policy files or the whitelist files have to be platform dependent. The second is, how do you know that strace hits all your code paths? And that's probably the more secure, severe issue. Because if I run strace in my lab, it might do different things than if I run strace in production. So you might have to iterate a few times until you actually hit all the system calls. And one thing that actually hit us is that somebody upreft some dependency of Samba, which then happened to do a different system call, and our stuff broke. So this is pretty scary, but lately it has been fairly stable. So the last is namespacing. So there are different types of namespaces, project ID, a process ID, to hide all the processes that the process can see, mount namespaces to hide the file system, and others I don't want to go into detail about. Quick about process ID namespaces. So with this option, you get a process ID namespace, and if you then call PS, it only lists those two processes. So not all, everything else that's running on my system. Same for mount namespaces. It's a little more complicated, but the three steps are you enter a mount namespace, you kind of like unmount everything, and then you start remounting stuff. And this actually binds read only in this case. So if I issue the ls command to the root folder, there is like nothing there anymore. And this is what the actual command looks like. I color-coded it by the same, so you can see what it's actually doing what. The SecCom filters are actually not part of the actual daemon, but they are applied to the net binaries directly because we have custom SecCom filters for the different commands. So to summarize, so now Chromebooks can be joined to Active Directories directly. You don't need a Google account anymore. And it's very easy for enterprises to try it out, or for you if you are interested. It's managed through GPO. We support Android app certs, file shares, printing. I didn't mention printing in the talk, but it's also possible. So it's hopefully everything that people need. And it's sandboxed Samba. In the future, so right now we only have a shadow account that can do Play Store apps. But if you want to use Google Docs, for instance, you would still have to log in with a Google account. We want to fix that. So we want to create a shadow account with full capabilities that allows you to use Google Docs, Google Drive, Chrome Sync, which are then tied to your Active Directory account. Then, as I mentioned, the native file shares. Then we want to simplify policy management a little bit because entering JSON is cumbersome. Streamline domain join a little bit for some customers that have to join thousands of devices. We want to support kiosk and public sessions. Kiosk is a thing that only runs one app. Think of a retail store that shows some demo or something like that. And we want to do reporting because that's not supported right now. Right, with that, I think something happened and I probably didn't move enough. But I'm done anyway. So thank you for your attention. Are there any questions?
So thank you very much. Very, very interesting. I didn't completely understand the thing with the shadow account. So where does it live? Does the shadow account only live on the Chromebook, mm-hmm. or is it replicated somewhere else? And then the technology used, you're using XAML. So where's the IDP that connects to the Zamba Active Directory then? Mm-hmm. Those two questions. Thank you.
Okay. So the account is actually a Google account with a limited scope to only allow Play Store apps. So I said that you don't need a Google account. That's not quite true. You need a shadow account, but the difference is that an admin doesn't have to mirror them all over, and he can also disable this feature if they don't want to mirror any data to Google. But in order to implement this, it was necessary to add a shadow account at least.
But just to be clear, without a password.
Without a password. So it's all in the background. You don't actually see it. What was the second? So the service provider is the Google server, because it wants to know who this user is, and the IDP is Active Directory through ADFS. So the Google server talks to the IDP, hey, who's this user? Give me the object GUID. And then ADFS returns the object GUID, and we are using that as a key into the Play Store.
I've got two questions. The first one, when joining the Chromebook to Active Directory, is it possible to specify the OU? Or if I have got thousands, are they all going to be in the computer's OU?
It is possible. It wasn't shown in this UI because I copied the screenshot from some other older presentation, but now it's possible to specify an OU.
Cool. And the second question is, have you tested using the GPO on a Samba AD server as opposed to a traditional Windows?
I think we had customers in the Trusted Tester program who tried it. And it worked flawlessly.
I noticed the GPOs are specific to the Chromebook. Have you thought to actually read the other GPOs that are already installed in the corporate domain, like the Internet Explorer set, homepage and those other Windows settings, and trying to apply those to the Chromebook instead so that you don't have a parallel set of policy to administer?
So this is a mixed bag. We thought about it. The problem with that is if you support some, people expect you to support all of them. And there are many, 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 many. Mm. So we made the conscious decision to keep this separate, to also make it for the admins easier to know what to expect. So it's always better that you have the clear expectation that you have to do something in our templates than there might be some Windows policies that are supported and some might not. So we specifically had that, like there's this policy for rotating machine password. We used it in the beginning, but then we made the decision that we roll our own policy for that.
Okay. So we pretty much ran out of time. Maybe one more question if it's quick.
So when talking about mounting a share, you were talking about a SMB client. Are you using Fuse behind, or is it mount CIFS for the share mounting? On your slide, you were only talking about SMB client, which is more like to get one file or things like that. But if you want to really to mount a share on a local file system.
I didn't implement this, so I don't know about the details about the mounting part. What I'm assuming it's doing, it's probably calling SMB client when it does any operation on it.
Looks like, I think it's lib SMB client that's being called behind the scenes. So it's not using the kernel Ceph's module. I don't think that's loaded on Chrome OS.
And is
this
about open source?
All of this is open source. It all complies with GPL v3. You can replace it, you can modify it, you can do anything you want with it.
Okay, thank you, Lutz. Interesting presentation. And I think and what I would like you to invite you to is just tell us about the interfaces to NET and where they suck and what to improve. And okay, now Tom, you're